Hey everyone, it's Amy Lynn Durham and you're listening to Create Magic at Work. Create Magic at Work is on a mission to equip senior leaders with tools they need to be a true servant leader and actually understand what that means. Improve employee engagement, retain top talent, and transform your workplace culture to have less stress and drama. So let's start making magic. Hey everyone, welcome back to another episode of Create Magic at Work. And today I am excited to bring you the author of Courageous Clarity, Phyllis Sarkaria. Phyllis is a certified coach, facilitator, and trusted advisor. She's held executive roles in government affairs and human resources and has had responsibility for functions as diverse as strategic planning, merger integration, and team effectiveness. Before she founded the Sarkaria Group, Phyllis served as an internal advisor and coach to C-level executives and other key employees at the Quidel Corporation, a leading medical diagnostics manufacturer. Phyllis holds a BBA, finance, and an MBA from Texas Tech University and an MA, ethical leadership, from Claremont Lincoln University. Her coaching certifications are from the Berkeley Executive Coaching Institute, Marshall Goldsmith Stakeholder-Centered Coaching, and systemic team coaching from Peter Hawkins through the Academy of Executive Coaching. She's a master certified corporate coach through the Association of Corporate Executive Coaches. I asked Phyllis to be on Create Magic at Work so she could share the wisdom that she has placed in her latest book, Courageous Clarity, Navigating the Way Forward on Your Leadership Journey, an essential guide for leaders who want to inspire, influence, and engage their teams for greater results. So join me in welcoming Phyllis to Create Magic at Work. Thank you for being on the show.
Thanks so much for having me, Amy. I'm really excited to talk with you.
Yeah, I'm excited that you agreed to be here and share your wisdom with the listeners. It's going to be good today because the reason why I reached out to you personally was because your book just came out titled Courageous Clarity. And I really want to dive right into that because as I read through the book, it was really geared towards leaders in the workplace and workplace culture. So two things to start off. Why don't you tell the listeners what inspired you to write this book? And I'm going to leave it at that. Because I have another one. I have a follow-up from there. But what inspired you to write Courageous Clarity?
Okay, fair enough. I love that question because Courageous Clarity came out of my work, my coaching work with clients. And I found that so many of them were successful already in their careers, but they were running into roadblocks. And as I started thinking about the different ways I worked with them, there were commonalities across all of them. I mean, every one of my clients is unique. They're unique in terms of who they are as individuals, but a variety of industries, positions, all those things. But there were still these commonalities of the types of things they were encountering, the challenges they were seeing. And so I started thinking about, what is helpful to you if, as a leader, first of all, you need to know yourself. Self-awareness is absolutely key. Once you have a better sense of yourself, it's easier to then engage with and use tools to build trust, learn more about others, collaborate in a productive manner, and essentially inspire and engage team members and colleagues. And then finally, for all of us, there are going to be bumps in the road. And so when you run into those inevitable obstacles and detours, what are some things to keep in mind to help you work through them in a productive way? And so when I put the book together, it started out with the rather horrible and awkward working title of MAP, which was an acronym, but it was the idea of the leadership journey, right? And as I started talking with folks, getting some feedback from some of my early reviewers on the draft manuscript, I realized maps are very static. And besides, who uses a paper map anymore, right? Difficult to fold up. Those have gone by the wayside. But GPS is dynamic. It tells you where you are, which is, that's about self-awareness, is having a good sense of who you are and why you do the things you do. It helps you understand how to get where you want to go. So having tools to help with the journey. And then if you get lost, it recalculates. And so that seemed like a more appropriate model to use in putting this together and helping get the message out of how to improve and build on existing success.
I love that. Because I was thinking, I was reading in your book where you were referencing self-awareness. And I love how you just said you have to know who you are and where you want to go. And it sounds so simple, but oh my gosh, that can get so muddy sometimes with our lives. And, you know, just you're talking about this journey through GPS, this leadership journey. What are some ways that you've encountered with clients or that you notice that would help leaders get clarity, get courageous clarity on who they are and where they want to go?
Well, one of the keys absolutely is curiosity, because particularly for those who've been really successful, often there's a little bit of the smartest guy or gal in the room syndrome going on. And that's natural. If you think about, if you've been rewarded throughout your entire career for having answers, then you feel that you have to have answers. And so it can actually cause us, we may be internally curious, but we're not really expressing the kind of curiosity that will help you learn more. And yet, if we can access that or re-access that, again, that desire to learn and understand rather than immediately move to problem solving. You know, I must have the solution. I must have the answers. Because often we're not solving the right problem, or there wasn't a problem to solve. Someone just needed to be listened to.
Yeah.
So opening up with curiosity can really help people. Curiosity about both yourself and others creates opportunity for discovery.
Yeah. I talk a lot about being a wise and effective change agent. And recently I did a, and I talk a lot about it because recently I did a search on LinkedIn and I think, I can't remember the exact number, but it was like 40 to 50,000 leaders came back identifying with being a change agent.
Wow.
And that was really interesting to me because I just have to comment on this. It's not really a question. It's just, you're speaking to what being a wise and effective change agent is, which is a skill in SQ and in the SQ21. And it's just so interesting to me that these systems that we have been thrown into to work in have cultivated this environment that you have to always have the answer. And so what happens is it pulls us away from being wise and effective change agents because we stop listening and we lose our curiosity. And what I thought was really cool in your book, because I, you know, we both went to the Berkeley Executive Coaching Institute. Curiosity is a huge part of being an executive coach.
Absolutely.
But you touched on the spirit of discovery in the very beginning of your book and how it's a huge leadership trait. And my question for you, because it was so cool the way that you framed it. And so I just want you to share how the spirit of discovery opens up magic possibilities as a leader.
Oh, I love the way you phrase that, because to what you were saying, I also see that leaders, particularly because they're required to drive change, they need to drive change. They see opportunities to make things better. And often they just start pushing that consistent thread of change without involving others. And then it becomes their idea and their change. And once they're gone, they move up or on, things go back to the way they were, right? So what I love about curiosity, and I say in the book, curiosity is discovery. The magic that it creates is it invites others to participate. And it actually makes you more influential in many ways, because by drawing out others' ideas and inviting them to the conversation, to the party, you not only make yourself smarter, but they also start to look to you as someone who helps them think things through. And often we think that someone's coming to us with a problem they want us to solve, and they may think they are too. You know, you have the experience in this, Amy, what would you do? And yet when we're, as we learned at BECI, when we're able to be open to outcome and not be fixed on a particular goal, but kind of approach things as a scientist. We're working in a very complex dynamic world, and answers have less value in a complex dynamic world because things are constantly changing and the answers you have may be outdated. And if you think like a scientist who's constantly gathering data and applying it to what they already know, they're able to evolve. And it's not about a right answer or a wrong answer. It's about applying that curiosity to continually learn more and rise with the acquisition of more information.
Hi there, it's Amy here. Have you already experienced success in your business and life, but feel like there's something more? You're desiring to feel more ease in your business and life? You want to refine your inner voice to where it becomes a powerful inner compass? You want to live in courage, clarity, and confidence? And you're looking for someone that can deeply listen in a safe space to co-create real results? I can help you tap into your own inner magic and turn what you say you want into a reality with my new Elevate one-on-one coaching program. If that sounds like something that you're interested in and you felt that feeling when I was describing it, email me, amy@createmagicatwork.net, or go to createmagicatwork.net/work with me. You can apply there. Sending magic to you. Yeah. So good. And I love the magic that you speak to that and how it actually, not having the quick answer, not rushing to the quick fix, is up-leveling yourself as a leader and turning the tables on the room. It's so cool to talk about. So my next question, because there's an overarching theme in Courageous Clarity about listening. We've already touched on it a little bit, but I'm curious, you talked about nonverbal indicators for leaders to look at when they're interacting with others. So what would be an example of some nonverbal indicators that leaders could take note of, and possibly virtually because of the hybrid workspace we're in today?
Yes. And we do have to think a little bit differently when we're dealing with people virtually versus in person. Now, some things actually, they cross over because it's paying attention to pace and tone of voice. If you visually have someone on, you know, if you're on screen or you're in the room with them, watching their body language. But even if you're just, let's say you were on the phone or you were might have been on a, let's say a Zoom call, but cameras were off, it's understanding, is there someone maybe that always has their camera off? Rather than drawing conclusions as to why, really seeking to understand can help you as a leader because you might get some insight into things. And when we're looking for those nonverbal cues, whether it's the fact that someone doesn't speak up, that they're kind of sitting back with their arms crossed, don't seem engaged, or maybe someone's talking all the time and you have to say, great contributions, Phyllis, but you know, can you tone it down a little bit? Let's hear what others have to say. Those are indicators to you as a leader of things you might want to explore further one-on-one, not calling out people individually, but just kind of checking in with them. So I know often as leaders, we can kind of lose track of how to be more empathetic with others. And Courageous Clarity doesn't really get into empathy. There is a ton of great material out there. So I didn't really explore that in detail, but it's thinking about how to check in with people. And rather than what do you think about this, how are you feeling about this? And thinking about, well, see there, I did it again, thinking about, but it could be if you're going through a change initiative, how are you handling all these changes? Because if you just say, how are things going? The automatic answer is, okay. But opening up with more curious questions and then really listening, not just asking the question so that you can get more information so that you can then respond, but truly listening, you know, stop talking and listening once you ask the question.
Yeah. Thank you. I just had Aaron Tobacco on an episode and he talked about deep listening, and he was saying, you know, listen to respond out the window. You just listen to bear witness. And I think you're really tapping into that as well. And if I had those tools when I was in the leadership space in like my 20s, oh my gosh, it would be so different. One thing that I'm really curious about when I was reading your book was this, again, is part of spiritual intelligence for me, really, is when the obstacle is the opportunity. And you touched on that. And that's a huge part of quantum leadership and understanding that living on the edge of chaos can create innovation and inspiration. And so can you elaborate on, you know, just paint a picture for some leaders that are listening that are going, what the heck? How can an obstacle be an opportunity? Like, I'm hitting all kinds of obstacles and I'm pounding my fist against a brick wall. And what is she talking about?
Well, and sometimes this gets back again to these consistent themes around things like curiosity and also listening, is that often we get on a track and we, you know, you're on a path, to use the analogy, and you run into, there's a big boulder in front of you. It might be a colleague. It might be a project that stalled, funding. You know, it could be a wide variety of things. And some people will focus so much on what's not working rather than pause, take a step back, maybe a different perspective, and ask themselves, how can I use this to get where I want to go? Because you don't want to lose sight of your end goal. And perhaps if you need to go, you know, around to get around the boulder, that may take you, it may be not on the time schedule you wanted. It may take you out of the path you hoped to be on. And at the same time, it can create an opportunity to learn more. I'll give an example from my own career, because I can think of a number of different times in the 30 years that I was in corporate life that I ran into what I would refer to as obstacles and detours. Sometimes they were people related, sometimes they were assignment or job related. But at one point in my career, I was working as a regulatory lobbyist. I really wanted to get into human resources. I'd been teaching college courses in the evening to working adults, and I found that very rewarding and wanted to be in more of the employee development space. And I had an opportunity at the time the company went through the merger to kind of redirect my career. There was an opportunity for a rotational assignment. And I had had conversations with a number of people. It looked like this was going to happen. I was very excited about that. And then I got the call saying, we want you to take a position in Washington, D.C. I'd been working in California. And the first thought in my head was, no, absolutely not. And I went through a whole range of emotions in a very short period of time, ultimately deciding to take the position. And yet I was only there for a year. And for the year I was there, I would say I probably could have gotten more out of it if I had been more open to the experience I was having. Hmm. Because I was spending so much of my time while I was there trying to figure out how to get back on the path I wanted to be on.
Hmm.
And yet through the conversations that occurred before I left, and this is all with the same corporation, and with the work that I was doing, I was given the opportunity to move into human resources. And at that point, I found work that I truly, truly love. So I had that year of kind of wandering in the desert when I didn't really understand. It's like, I feel like I've been sort of shunted aside. I don't know where I'm headed. This isn't working. And when I finally gave up kind of striving for the solution I wanted, then the real opportunity came along.
Hmm.
And it's so hard to do when you're in it. But looking back, I see how that year helped me get clarity around what I really wanted to do, where I wanted to be, how I could make the greatest positive impact. Mm-hmm.
Was there a particular moment that you remember that you finally let go of this future path that you wanted, that you were set on? Where was the shift? I'm wondering.
So I think the biggest shift for me probably occurred when, rather than continuing to pursue sort of the frustration and the disappointment that I didn't end up in the job that I was interested in, I started looking at the job I was in and thinking about parallels between that job and the job I wanted. How could I develop people that I was interacting with? And, you know, how could I be a leader in a different way? And once I did that, I was also able to say, maybe if I stay in this role or in a similar role, I can still be very effective. I came to the realization that what I was really struggling with in the moment was I wanted to be back in California. I lived there for 10 years. I had a lot of friends. You know, I wanted to get back to the West Coast. And so when I focused on that and started having conversations that gave me opportunity to do that, then through those conversations, it came kind of back around. The same company I was working for, the boss of my boss said, hey, would you be interested, if it were offered to you, would you be interested in moving into HR? I know you were interested in that at one time.
Yeah.
And so that's just pure grace and magic at work, because I don't know that there was anything I did that made that happen.
Yeah. Or it feels like to me you shifted from, I'm wandering in this desert, I don't really know where I'm going. And you got clear on, okay, I want to be back in California. I know that. Mm-hmm. And focusing on a positive shift in that way, instead of your energy on the negatives you see, or, you know, at the situation at hand. It just speaks to, and it sometimes it feels so hard when you're in that, you're in that muddy water where you're like, you're not clear. I keep thinking of, I love your book title, Courageous Clarity, because it takes courage as a leader to ask yourself these questions and try to get clear on where you want to go and what you need to do.
Yes.
And it's like the law of attraction in motion. And I don't know. I'm so intrigued and passionate about it anyway. So the final, well, Amy, yeah.
Before you ask your final question, yeah. when I realized in that particular situation that sort of, I reframed, I took a fresh perspective. What's the work I want to do? And I can do that work. It's like, let go of title. I can do that work in a lot of different places and in a lot of different ways.
Yeah. I love that. Like, what kind of work do you want to do? Not what title do you want to have?
Yes.
And where is that going to take you? I mean, really, really great questions for all the listeners to think about. Yeah. I actually have like 3 more questions.
Oh, awesome.
because I wanted to get to this, and this is such a rich conversation. There was a part in your book that you talked about, it's not all smooth sailing. And there was a particular point in that you referenced, you know, sometimes you do need to leave. I mean, you're talking about leaving and shifting jobs as it is on the last topic we discussed, but yeah, I want to speak to that a little bit, because I think I saw a post from Adam Grant or something where it said, you know, it's not your job to overhaul an entire toxic workplace. Like, how are you going to take that on? At some point, you need to make a healthy decision for yourself. So I guess my question for you is, what were you referring to with it's not all smooth sailing, so the listeners can hear? And where do you find that balance of contributing versus like, I think I need to find something healthier?
Right. So I do think it's important to say, you know, often we all tend to associate corporate politics when people talk about organizational politics. they mean it in a negative sense, because usually it is. When the reality, there's a wonderful leadership text by, it's called Reframing Organizations by Bowman and Deal. And it looks at the reality that politics is just taking scarce resources and figuring out how to allocate them. So that in itself is neither good nor bad. It just is. It's how it gets done in most organizations that can begin to feel like a game or toxic. And, you know, to your question or our observation that, you know, don't try to push that rope uphill. Don't feel that it's your responsibility to change a toxic environment. The question I often will ask a client if they're kind of struggling with that is, if you're thinking about leaving, what are you running to? Don't run from, run to. And maybe I hadn't actually thought of it until right now, the story I was sharing with you about, you know, when I was transferred to DC and then I wanted to get back to California, is that I had to fundamentally make that shift for myself. It's like, instead of running from a situation I was uncomfortable in, I had to look for what I wanted to run to. What was I attracted to, as opposed to what did I want to escape from?
Hmm. Yeah. You have me thinking, I mean, this is different because you're saying running. Instead of chasing happiness, following your joy. That can be a way to think about it as well. Instead of, yeah, that's, yeah. So on that note, what does servant leadership mean to you?
Servant leadership is absolutely, as a leader, being willing to put the team first. It goes beyond, I'm not going to ask you to do anything I wouldn't do, because a lot of leaders hold themselves to such a high standard. It isn't necessarily fair to require the same of their teams, but really thinking about the individuals on your team and how you as a leader can help them be their best. Because it's kind of like, if you think of it as a candle, if we're all candles and you as the leader are the lit candle, how do you light the other candles? Because the first candle isn't diminished by lighting other candles. And yet, if you can serve others, if you can light their candle, then you have this multiplier effect with those on your team.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it goes all the way back to the beginning of our conversation with the self-awareness, starting there. As a leader, the curiosity and the spirit of discovery for yourself and working on the having courageous clarity for yourself. So when your candle is shining, it's bright and it catches all the other ones on fire because that energy spreads because you're operating from that higher leadership level space.
Yes. And at the same time, not assuming that everyone else has the same, you know, it's just like you. So it's important to keep that curiosity, say, you know, this worked for me. Everyone else is unique. There will be other things that work for them. How do I help them have curiosity and be able to discover things about themselves so they can play to their strengths and be their best?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, use their unique abilities to maybe take a different road, but get to the same destination that you're trying to get to. Yeah. Really good.
Well said.
That always amazes me in our personal relationships too. You know, it's like, let me take a step back here and let them do it their way, even though it's not the way I would do it. And fingers crossed.
You know, it's funny to say that, Amy, because the number of people who've told me that the tools and courageous clarity are helpful for relationships of any kind, not just at work. I've kind of lost track of that, but it's true, right?
Oh, beyond. When the obstacle is the opportunity, I was totally thinking this can be applied in your personal life, personal relationships too. So thank you for sharing that. I'm going to pull a journal prompt card for you It's from my journal prompt card deck I created. We're going to get a message from the universe about work and career.
What does the universe have for me?
Wow, this is cool, Phyllis. It's the message is going within.
Ah.
Yeah. And the affirmation is, I gift myself moments of solitude and retreat in order to be in harmony. And there's a couple of questions. I'm going to go with the first one for you. What decisions do you need to make this week that will give you peace of mind?
Oh, wow. I love this thinking about solitude, retreat, harmony. So the biggest immediate decision I have is really how I will focus. I'm working on a presentation for a conference, and where I really want to focus the message to make the biggest impact. And so what that suggests to me is maybe stepping back so that I can have a little bit different perspective and kind of reflecting on it rather than being in the middle of it, you know, deep in the weeds, digging along, that I'm more likely to find the magic.
Yeah, that's the message. And for everyone listening, how can you go within, access your higher self, your inner wisdom, that inner truth, to really get that message that you want to share? So yeah, thank you. Phyllis, thank you for sharing your magic with all of the Create Magic at Work listeners. Thank you for the gift of courageous clarity. I know you've been so generous to offer 3 downloads of Courageous Clarity. So I'm going to give all the details to the listeners at the end of the episode. In the meantime, if people want to connect with you, how can they reach out and connect with you?
Well, the best way is directly. Feel free to send me an email, which is Phyllis, Phyllis, at sarcariagroup.com. And I also have a website, sarcariagroup.com. So that's spelled S as in Sam, ARKARIAGROUP.com. And I'd love to hear from you.
Perfect. Yes. So, and make sure you get a copy of Courageous Clarity. You will not regret it. We will put all of the information in the show notes as well, so you can just click on whatever you need to as a listener. Phyllis, thank you once again for sending some magic to everyone today.
Thank you, Amy. And thanks for the opportunity to talk with you about Courageous Clarity.
Yeah, my pleasure. Thank you. Wow. I really enjoyed my conversation with Phyllis, and my takeaways were, it starts with us, it starts with you, it starts with me, with the self-awareness and really maintaining the spirit of discovery and consciously going back to that when we're operating throughout our day. When the obstacle is the opportunity, that was not lost on me in our personal lives as well as in our career and in the workplace. Can we take a step back and pause and see that possibly the obstacle is the opportunity? Just her overall advice in the book, Courageous Clarity, and how it not only applies to leadership, but to our personal lives as well, I was just very impressed with. I really hope you get a copy of Courageous Clarity. And Phyllis, like I said, in the end of the episode, has been generous enough to offer 3 free downloads of her book. So I'm going to run a raffle. If you just email me, email Amy, A-M-Y, at createmagicatwork.net, and just tell me a little bit about the podcast or what you enjoyed in the episode, what you hated in the episode. Just give me your feedback, or just say hi. And you will be entered into a drawing to win a copy of Phyllis's book. Thank you so much for listening to another episode of Create Magic at Work. And I hope you leave this episode with some courageous clarity, sending magic to you. Hi, everyone. Amy Lynn Durham here. I really hope you enjoyed today's episode. All the show notes and links can be found at createmagicatwork.net. I hope you come back often and make sure you subscribe, rate, and review the podcast. keep joining us for more exciting episodes where we help you transform workplace culture to systems that create less drama and stress and have high productivity and profitability. Please reach out to me on LinkedIn under Amy Lynn Durham. Connect with me, and I hope we brought a little magic to your day. Sending magic to everyone. See you next time.